worthy is the Lamb that was slain from the foundations of the earth. Oh, Father, we submit our hearts to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for the blood that He shed and the cross that He bore is greater than any sin represented in this room. That's greater than any act that's represented in this room. And we submit to that love. And we submit to the power of that blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, our sins are removed from us as far as the east is from the west. And we have found our freedom in your love and in your forgiveness. And as we receive your forgiveness, it makes us capable of forgiving. There is nothing hidden from you. There is nothing hidden from you. It is all laid open and bare before the one who sees us and chose to love us anyway. So we are not hiding from you this morning. And we ask forgiveness. We're a repentant people. For anything that we have in our lives right now that might be a barrier between us. What can separate me from the love of God? So we submit our minds. We submit those things to you and we trust you with them that they're gone. That they're gone. And that any mark on our life has now been made clean because we believe. Simply because we believe and we receive it. Now we can move on from here. Now we can move on from here. Now we can move on into the promised land, into the things that you have for us. Because we know we have been seen and we have been loved. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Whew. When your worship team preaches, sometimes you just feel like you might need to get up here and say you're dismissed. That was beautiful messages they gave us today. Thank God for new microphones. We actually had a worship team member that used to attend here years ago. Donated those. Now, y'all, that's no small thing. These microphones are thousands of dollars. And so, thank you to who that was. Wes, you can pass along our acknowledgement and our thank you for, he loved this worship team, so he passed it along, and man, it helps them lead us. Isn't that beautiful? At Wednesday night Bible study, we've been studying the healing nature of God. Just the heart of God and His desire to see us healed. This Wednesday night, we talked about wholeness. His desire for our life to be whole. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Spirit, soul, body. Complete wholeness. And we were in Luke 5 where the sick man was let down through the roof. You remember the story, Scott, when his friends tore off the roof and let him down in there. In front of Jesus, and Jesus looks at the man in verse 20, and he says something really odd. Not exactly what we would expect Jesus to say when he's getting ready to heal somebody sick of the palsy. He looks at him and he says, "Man, your sins are forgiven." Yes, your sins are forgiven. Rise up and walk. The religious bunch gets angry immediately because who can forgive sins? And they think it's God alone. Jesus tells them something really important. He says, you need to know that man has the authority to forgive sins. Now that's going to become important because today's title is Healing Begins at Forgiveness. We've been talking about our homes. We've been talking about relationships for the last several weeks. Applying the principles of the word into our homes. Today we're going to talk about forgiveness. Now don't draw up, because we all know this is a touchy subject, but it is freedom and it is healing, and it all begins at forgiveness. So Jesus said, no, the Son of Man, I just happen to be a child of man. You happen to be a child of man. And Jesus makes it really clear that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins. Verse 23, Jesus said something even more astounding. He says, is it easier to say, thy sins be forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk? Which one's easier, Bob? Which one's more difficult? To say your sins be forgiven, or to say, rise up and walk? Jesus is putting them on the same page. And what he's trying to get across to them is that what he will do on the cross took care of it all. Right? The truth is that the forgiveness that Jesus gave this man set him free. The forgiveness that Jesus granted this man, when he said, your sins are forgiven you, it set that's what he needed. What he needed in order to receive healing was forgiveness. Now let's bring this home. You want your marriage healed? You want the relationship with your children healed? You want the relationship with your parents healed? You want the relationship that you deal with in life healed? Which is it easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, or to be healed? This man needed to be forgiven in order to be healed. And you may have somebody in your house that needs to be forgiven before you can heal that relationship. And we'll go deeper with this. But the forgiveness that Jesus gave him set healing in motion. The principle of forgiveness, I hate to say the principle, the heart of forgiveness is at the heart of Christianity. We just sang it. I had a crimson stain. He washed me white as snow. I thought back about the old song that we used to sing back in the day. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sin away. Do you know when people owe you forgiveness, they can't pay it? What are they going to do? Because we cannot unscramble eggs. What's done is done. We can only move forward from where we are. And I can't tell you how many times Rusty and I have said that about different circumstances in our families. We can only move on from where we are. And the only way we can do that is to teach about forgiveness. And there is definitely a connection between the two. Jesus used it more than once. Sometimes our relationships with our mates, sometimes our relationships with our parents, with our children are held captive by unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is the prison that we're in. And our relationship stops where forgiveness stops. Your relationship stops where forgiveness stops. Where you refuse to forgive, that's where your relationship stops. It cannot grow past it. It cannot. And until you forgive me, we can't move past it, Mary. You've probably had to forgive me before. But let me tell you about a beautiful life. A beautiful life walks in unforgiveness. It's predetermined decision before anything ever happens what we're going to do. It's a tough one, Sunday. But it's a truth. It's our relationship stops where forgiveness stops. We can't move on together in ministry. We can't move on together in marriage. We can't move forward in with our relationship with our children. Nothing's going to get past that point. It just can't grow past it. Because unforgiveness keeps our relationship existing in the past. And if Todd offended me by sending me ugly videos about snakes that he knows I don't like, Todd and I have been friends a long time, since we were teenagers. And that's been a long time. Today's your birthday, isn't it? Somebody tell me the truth. Where's his kids? Tomorrow. Oh, tomorrow's your birthday. So we've known each other a long time because I think you're hitting something like a new decade. You're going to stop sending me snake videos or I'm going to keep punishing you from the pulpit. No, I've got to forgive you. Oh, Lord, I've got to forgive him. Look, we can't continue. And we've grown. We've married. I'm friends with your wife. You're friends with my husband. I love your children like they're my children. You love my children like they're your children. Even our grandbabies are friends, right? You know why? Because if I've ever offended you or you ever offended me, we've forgiven each other. That's how we've grown. That's how we've grown. That's how we've grown. You can just look around this room and say, that's how we've grown. It's because we've decided that we're going to forgive because we want the relationship to grow. Forgiveness puts us in the now. Unforgiveness keeps us in the past. And forgiveness puts our relationship in the now. Now we can be friends. Now we can be married. Now we can have a great relationship. Now we can have a great father, daughter, mother relationship. Now, why? Because we've chosen to let go of what was and we've chosen not to exist in the past. Healing begins at forgiveness. It's the only way for you and me to move on from what happened. Otherwise, we're stuck. And who wants to be stuck in a painful place? Who wants to be stuck? Why? Why choose to be stuck in a painful place? There's some weird thing, Brother Jim, in our mentality that makes us think if we stay here in this pain that we are holding the other person responsible for their actions. Chances are they don't care. And even if we're reading them wrong and they do care, it still doesn't help anything for us to stay in the place of unforgiveness. It's painful for us. We can't grow. And there is absolutely no chance for healing if we don't forgive. I'm telling you, forgiveness is beautiful. Is it hard? It's as hard as making the decision. It's as hard as making the decision. I don't want to stay stuck. And you know, sometimes there's relationships that are long-term in your life where there's been an offense. And Mark, you get stuck there, and it's really hard to get out of that rut because we tend to go back and think. Actually, we're expecting the past to repeat itself. Where is faith in that? We're expecting them to mess up. We're expecting them to hurt us. We're expecting. When are we going to get down to the truth of the matter? That if Joe offends me or I offend Joe, my fairly new brother-in-law, that he probably didn't mean to. Joe says things sharply sometimes. I say things sharply sometimes. He's real competitive. So if you're going to play a sport with him, just make up your mind not to be offended before you go. He's going to make up his mind that even if you beat him, it'll only be once. But this is where we live, and this is the kind of stuff that puts a seed of unforgiveness in us, and unforgiveness becomes bitterness. It's called the root of bitterness. And when something has root, it has fruit. So we got to, Barney Fife, if you're old enough, nip it in the bud. We got to stop this thing before it grows any further. But when are we going to understand that even though at the moment they might have meant what they said, their heart is not evil? Now there's evil in the world. And that may be the case, but most of the people that we deal with on a regular basis, we need to face the fact that sometimes we've said some things that have hurt people too. And we want grace, and we want forgiveness. And so we've received grace and forgiveness from the Father. Jesus paid the price for that. That means we have it available. So we can't say we can't forgive. Because we have received forgiveness, we have forgiveness to give. So we got to get the I can'ts out of there and get them handled. If you have trouble, and look, we all do this sometimes, get the woe is me's, and they did this, and they did that, and we kind of want to wallow in it a little bit. My mom used to call it pity parties, and she didn't allow them in our house. It was really aggravating when she would do that too. I mean, you're in the middle of a good pity party, and she calls you out. It's called a good mom. But anyway, study the life of Joseph. And we don't have time today, because it starts about Genesis 37, and I read through chapter 50, and it was still, you know, it was his life. But let me just give you a rundown. Joseph, his brothers plot to murder him. Now, there's been a time or two my brother probably hit me or wanted to hit me, but I sure hope he hasn't plotted to murder me. If he has, please let me know. But they plotted. I mean, they saw him coming, and they started deciding how they were going to get rid of him because they were jealous of him. He's thrown in the pit. He's sold into slavery. He's betrayed. He's abandoned. They leave him. He's falsely accused of rape. He's falsely imprisoned. He has lies told about him. He's physically abused. I mean, you can just go on, and if you think you've had things in your life, read Joseph. It'll really prioritize things for you. And I'm not denying that we have been through some stuff. Right? This room is full of stories. But at every turn, when it seemed like every turn Joseph, something bad was happening to Joseph, just flip that picture around and realize that at every turn when something bad, God delivered him. He delivered him because even when Joseph was falsely accused, he did what was right. When the woman approached him, tried to tempt him, and was going to accuse him of rape, he did what was right. He would not sleep with his boss's wife. He kept doing what was right, so God kept delivering him. And then there came a day that those very brothers who started abusing him, and the ultimate abuse when he was 17, when they left him in the pit to die and sold him into slavery, that event kick-started all the other bad things that happened in his life. Everything stemmed from right there. And there came a day that those brothers were brought before him, not knowing that it was him. Because remember, he became, God just kept raising him up, and he became second in command under Pharaoh. And the brothers were brought before him. They were starving. They were needing food, and they when they found out who he was, they begged his forgiveness. But here's the deal. Joseph already had. And he makes this powerful statement to them in Genesis 50, verse 19. I'll give you time to get there because you didn't get notes this morning because we had a few computer issues that Charlotte had to save me from. And you know Charlotte has a bubble, but I got all in it and gave her a hug. Genesis 50, verse 19. This is what he says to his brothers who are expecting him to hate them. And he has the power to make them pay. Fear not, for am I in the place of God? So whoever it is that you're battling forgiving, no matter what the assault was, I want this to be your question to meditate on. Am I in the place of God? Truth is, sin is between God and man. I'm not saying if something bad's happened to you that you don't report it. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that holding on to unforgiveness and letting it grow like a cancer throughout your life is wrong. It's wrong for me. And if you think you can keep unforgiveness compartmentalized, you're lying to yourself. I've done it too. If we think we can just hold this unforgiveness between me and that person, oh no, it's spreading. It's spreading, and it will affect other areas of your life. Now, if you take this in your home, If you've got a parent who was an alcoholic or was a drug addict or abused you, and you hold on to that unforgiveness, you will bring it into your home. It may not come out in the same form, but it will come out in a wrong. So we talk about generational curses, and I think I brought this up on another week. That's one thing that brings generational curses. We think, how can an abused person grow up and become the abuser? Because the root was not removed. It wasn't removed. How can I forgive them? Because we have to. It doesn't okay it. It doesn't condone it. But am I in the place of God? Am I standing in the place of God? Joseph goes on, but as for you, you thought evil against me. Don't get worried about this next statement. We'll cover it. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. When you look at that, God meant it unto good, those words aren't even there. They're just not even there in the Hebrew. It means God took it and wove it. He took it and fabricated it. He interpenetrated it. So what happened to you that was bad, if you will let God into that situation, He will refabricate it. He will weave into it. He will, what was the other word that was used? He will interpenetrate it. And it reminds me of Romans 8:28, that He'll make all things work together for our good. But unforgiveness does not let God into the situation. Forgiveness lets God into the situation. And some of the most powerful ministries that you will watch who are reaching thousands and thousands of people came from a place of pain who chose forgiveness. And God was woven into it. And what the enemy meant to destroy you and to set your life on the wrong track, God can bring into a beautiful place. But our act is forgiveness. Verse 21, now therefore fear ye not. This is Joseph talking to the guys, the brothers that did this to him. I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house. And Joseph lived 110 years. That's a good ending. That's just a pretty good ending. So please understand that forgiveness is not letting people get away with things. It doesn't take away the consequences of what people do. It simply puts it in God's hands instead of yours. It puts it in God's hands instead of yours, and it sets you free from it. Sets you free from it. It can also change the life of the other person. These people knew that they were throwing him in the pit. They knew they were faking his death. They put their father through thinking that his son had been killed. This wasn't an accident. And yet, Joseph's kindness towards them changed the men they were. It takes love to want to be willing to do that. Jesus, the perfect one, was betrayed. He was perfect. Perfect. Walked in love. Did nothing wrong. Had no sin. And yet he was spit on. He was abused beyond imagination. And yet while hanging on the cross, Luke 23:34 says, Jesus called out, Father. He called out to God on their behalf. Y'all, this takes a great stretch for my mind. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And you know, I can look at just about any imaginable thing, some unimaginable things, and look at that person and say, they knew the act they were doing. but they have no idea the consequence of the act. Father, forgive them. I dealt with someone this week, which remind me to tell you about, who hurt me deeply in the younger years of my life. And we were texting back and forth, and I had the opportunity to say, you know, what that put me through, I felt like a failure. I felt that I had failed in so many areas of my life because of that. But we forgave each other. And when you forgive each other, you can grow, you can continue to grow past those things. And I realize that that person did not know what they were doing to me. They were only thinking of themselves. And so we've got to give people that grace. Father, forgive them. They really don't have a clue. Really don't have a clue. Jesus said some tough things for us to live, but he lived them first. He didn't ask us to do anything that he didn't do. And if the cross doesn't prove it, when he can say, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they do, I can do it. He didn't ask us to do something impossible that he would be unjust if he did. So Matthew 6, verse 14. If we can turn our heads for this to start being exciting at the possibilities and the hope that can come from forgiveness instead of it being painful, it'll really help us. Matthew 6:14 says, "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Now that is just tough. And I didn't write it, and there's just some days I don't like it. But Jesus said it. And this is the way my dad would explain it to me, and I love this. For unforgiveness is a continual sin. It's not a one-time act. So if I have unforgiveness towards Janine, and I ask God to forgive me, but I hold on to that unforgiveness, how can, I mean, it just keeps going. It's, you know, if I kick the cat, I can ask forgiveness. That was a one-time act. But unforgiveness, it's continual. It just doesn't stop. The only way for it to stop is for somebody to forgive. And that somebody's got to be me. If I realize there's a wrong, that somebody becomes me. If you don't forgive men their sins, your Father, I'm going to say, cannot forgive your sins. And this goes back to what we talked about in the beginning. If it's hard for you to forgive someone, begin to concentrate and study, Miss Burge, on what Jesus did to forgive me. And I think when we focus on his forgiveness and what he went through to forgive me of anything that we could ever do or say, then that gives me strength and makes me realize, hey, I've received forgiveness. I've received grace. I can extend forgiveness and grace. Let's go to Matthew 18 and handle a tough one. Because some of these, I just looked up, you know, forgiveness on my computer program, and man, some of these scriptures are, Mark, these are tough. He had a lot to say about it though, didn't he? Matthew 18, verse 23, "Therefore the kingdom of heaven," Jesus is speaking, "is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants, and he began the settlement. And a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. And the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I'll pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him and canceled the debt and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. And his fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me and I will pay you back." But he refused. Instead, he went off, had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. And then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said, "I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" And in anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Once again, I didn't write it. It's just a truth. And I can hear my dad he turned him over until he should pay back all he owed. What he owed was forgiveness. I have been given forgiveness. I have been given grace. I have been given mercy. And that is what I owe. Unforgiveness would be his prison. Unforgiveness became his prison. The Father knows that unforgiveness won't stay in one area of your life. It's detrimental to us. It's the very basis of our Christianity is that we've been forgiven. And so it needs to be the very basis of our walk in life. You can, not now, but you can read Mark 11:25 and 1 Peter 3:7. Mark 11:25, 1 Peter 3:7. And they state that unforgiveness will affect your prayer life. Unforgiveness will affect your prayer life. Matthew 5:23 tells us that it will affect our giving. That's going over into other areas of life, is it not? I can't tell you how many times I look at Rusty when we've got a situation happening, and I'll say, you know, I'll be venting. We call it venting. It really means getting in strife. And then we'll look at each other and I'll go, "We can't afford strife. We can't," or he'll, you know, we'll remind each other, "We can't afford strife." It affects our giving. It affects our prayer life. It affects our walk in with other people. If we're in strife with one person, it'll affect our walk with other people. Man, if you've never heard Vic Porter talk about borrowed offenses, you're missing one of the best messages ever taught. And this is what our society, Corinne, is dealing with right now, is borrowed offenses. It's not even our fight and we're in the middle of it. You know, we got to learn what our boundaries are. And we find ourselves upset because we heard that somebody else hurt so-and-so, or we heard, and we're living in a strife pool that wasn't even done to us. Why are you mad at me if I haven't done anything to you? Why am I mad at you if you haven't done anything to me? And if you have, then we'll deal with forgiveness. But how do you even fix something that's not even yours? So when somebody brings you their offense, you point them to forgiveness. If you're not pointing them to forgiveness, you're pointing them the wrong way. True friends of mine are going to look me in the face and say, "You can't afford this. Get it right." True friends will say, "I'm not taking on your offense. They may have hurt you, but that's not mine. You got to walk in forgiveness if you're going to move forward. Otherwise, we're stopped. We're stopped, and it's not even something that's in our realm." That's not in my notes. Luke 17. I'll see if Vic can bring us some of those books, Borrowed Offenses, because the beautiful thing about this is when Vic, he's a friend of ours, Vic Porter, when he first started teaching on borrowed offenses, of course, it just was such revelation. There's so much good things in that. But what God did with that book is Vic came up with a curriculum to go into the prisons. And he has the Self-Worth Institute, which is in almost all the state prisons, offered as a curriculum, as a class. And at the heart of that is the teaching of forgiveness, whether it's forgiving of ourselves or forgiving other people, because most of our issues come from us being offended and what it's festered on the inside of us. So I'll try to get some of those for you. Luke 17, verse 1. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to those through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea than he should cause one of these little ones to sin. Pay attention to yourselves." It's like, I just want to highlight that, underline it, and circle it. For me, stop looking at everybody else in the story. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. Do you know it's okay to say something when there's an issue? Forgiveness doesn't mean things are swept under the rug. It means they're forgiven. But sometimes they have to be addressed. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. Now, I know a lot of minds get real happy right there because they're like, they didn't apologize. That means I don't got to forgive them. Well, there's lots of other scriptures that we won't have time to get to today. Forgiveness is a heart issue. Unforgiveness is a heart issue. And we are responsible for our hearts. But in this case, this is a brother, not necessarily a blood brother, but a brother in the faith who has offended you. You want to restore the relationship. You know, if you're with someone who is going to hit you every time they see them, you forgive them and you let them move on their merry way, right? But in a relationship that can be restored, that needs to be restored, that's what he's talking about. He comes, a brother, he comes to you, you rebuke him. If he repents, you forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in the day and turns to you seven times saying, "I repent," you must forgive him. I know. I'm sorry. I already apologized to Charlotte when I gave her the title. The apostle said to the Lord, he's just made this huge statement to the disciples. You, seven times in a day, Bob, you've got to forgive them. And you know what their response was? Increase our faith. See, we don't often tie in these next few verses with what he's really talking about here. What he's really talking about here is the ability for us to forgive. And they said, we're going to have some help. If we're going to be able to forgive somebody wronging us and repenting seven times in a day, you know, there's some verses that talk about 70 times seven, if I remember right. They said, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted into the sea, and it would obey you. Oh, we use that scripture all the time for faith, okay? We use it all the time for other things, but let's put it right here in context. You have unforgiveness on the inside of you. What do you do? I mean, what do you do? It is not natural to forgive. Increase our faith. We're going to need faith for this. We're going to need faith to be able to forgive this thing. We're going to need faith to be able to forgive this person. And he says, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you would say to the mulberry tree, yeah, it's big, but you're going to talk to it. And you're going to say to the mulberry tree, be uprooted You're not allowed to grow here. You're not allowed to grow here. You be uprooted and be gone from me. Unforgiveness, hatred, jealousy, envy, whatever it is, be uprooted. I'm not going to accept you in my life. What happens if the feeling comes back? Well, we don't base things on feeling. You're going to say, no, you're uprooted, be gone, be cast into the sea. Why? Because it will obey you. You know what that tells me? Ken, if I've got unforgiveness, it's nobody else's fault. They made me mad. Really? No, they gave you opportunity to get mad. We took it. They make me. If I uproot it, it will obey me. It will obey me. You may have to say it 10 times a day, 20 times a day, 50 times a day. Look, some of you have got hurts I can't even imagine. Some of you have been through things beyond my wildest belief. So I'm not saying that that is easy, but it's a decision. It's a decision. And I think the decision's the hardest part, because it's a submitting to let it go. I'm not talking about, please, if somebody broke the law and did something to you, please, I've got people. We'll get you in contact with people. There are laws that are to be held accountable. People are held accountable to those things. But we're talking about hurts that we need to decide to forgive so that we're not staying in them. Begin to uproot it with your words. And believe that you have. Because your emotions will follow your decisions. They will. Maybe not the first time. Maybe not the second time. But your emotions will follow your decisions. I think what we have to decide is, with what happened with this person, is this a forgiveness that I need to forgive and take care of my heart and leave alone? Or is this a forgiveness where we're trying to restore a relationship? I can't make that decision for you. Because sometimes if we forgive somebody, it changes who they are. So, you know, you're just going to have to be led by your spirit on that. But in us, I am responsible, and that's a cancer I don't want growing. Because if I have unforgiveness with other people, it can come into my relationship with Rusty. I can begin to judge him by other people that hurt me. And so me letting it go makes it possible for me to move on and to grow. So it's going to be good. It's going to be good. Just make the decision. Ask the Lord. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you what you need to do. If it's something you need to approach with someone, or if it's something you need to handle in yourself and let it go. And I believe that He will give you the wisdom that you need in each one of those circumstances. It may be different with everyone. If I have anything against you, I want you to know it's gone. If I've hurt you, if you've hurt me, let's grow forward and not be stuck in our relationship where we got offended. Let's grow past it. Amen? Y'all can stand. Father, we submit. We've submitted ourselves to your word, and now it's our turn to be obedient. So we soften our hearts towards you. And we trust you with the things that we've been through, that you know and that you've seen. And we invite you to be woven into our story so it has a good ending. Father, you're the only being that I know that can take pain and turn it into passion. And we're just not going to be stuck here any longer. So we submit that to you, and we ask your forgiveness, and we're ready to extend it. We're working on that, Father. We're going to start using our words to proclaim our decision that we are predetermined to forgive, and we're ready for the future. And we thank you. We give you praise. We give you glory. for not only for ourselves being healed, but for some of the people who have been held in the prison with us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.